Hello, everybody. This is Mr. Death speaking. I'm here at the Absolute Monastery, University of Healing, campus here in Campo, California, and I thought I would come in and have a talk with these monks and their pets. Now, I want to, speaking for Mr. Death is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Okay. Now, speaking for Mr. Death says, I am so pleased with all the world because all the world loves to bring their dead to me. All the world says that you're going to live so many years. In the time of Jesus, they said you'd live 30 years, you know. Other times you live even shorter. And other times you live longer. And now they say that if you live to be 100, you'll probably live to be 200. And so if you can manage that, you're doing just fine. Now, every day that you're alive, you're getting closer to that goal. But hey, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the now. Right now. Let's just look at you. Just look at you. You think you're so wonderful, but you're killers, and I love you. I love killers because then I have more dead things to work with. Mr. Death, that's not sounding good. No, no, it's what you do. You know? You slaughter the cows, you slaughter the pigs, you slaughter the geese, you slaughter the chickens, my goodness sakes, the chickens you slaughter so that you can have chicken salads and stuff. It's amazing. But aside from that, those are premeditated deaths. Let's look at some presumably, unpremeditated deaths. Now, I have a dog. It's a golden retriever. Lovely dog. Beautiful, healthy guy, 4 years old. Fantastic dog, Mr. Rex. His name is really Rex, but I call him Mr. Rex. Super boy. And people say to me, oh, a nice dog. You know, don't get too attached to him because their lives are not that long. Their lives are only maybe 14, 20 years, you know, or depending upon what you do. Oh, is that right? Who determined that their lives were 14 or 20 years? Well, that's how long they lived, and then they died. That's because people expected them to die. And it's a good thing, too, because they help clear the dogs off the earth, you know. And now, people say to Herb, they say, Herb, what would you do if Rex died? You know, would you miss him? Well, sure, I'd miss him. Go get another one. You know, no big deal. But why should I miss him? Why shouldn't Rex live as long as I choose to have him live? Why shouldn't Rex live in a healthy body like me? And live a happy dog's life, you know, and really do all the things that I want him to do and he wants to do. Well, if I teach Rex to mind his P's and Q's, he'll live a long, happy life. I won't have to worry about him being near the freeway. I won't have to worry about him being eating things that are not good for him and stuff like that. He'll just always do the right thing. But as Mr. Death, I say to you, it's just wonderful how you keep sending things to me. You say a person's life is going to be 75 years. 410 years. Isn't that how Abraham Lincoln said it in the Gettysburg Address about the age of mankind? 410 years. 246, isn't that what a score is? A score is 24, a score is 20 years. So 246, that's 60 years. And another 10 years, 410 years, that's 70 years. So you live 70 years. You know. Now, he could have said, you live 75 years. That's 75 years. But he didn't mean that. He meant what the lifespan was that people were experiencing then. Now, very interesting. But why do we do this? Why do we choose to die before we even die? If we were to spend all of our time concentrating on living, What an interesting thing. You would give me no business at all. You'd send no business to Mr. Death at all. And Mr. Death would be sitting there twiddling his thumbs saying, golly, it's a slow day today, you know. Nobody's dying. And you say, oh, what a way to talk. But it's true. It's true. Think about it. Think about it. Now, Mr. Death, I'm happy that you came to visit. Now, I'd like to say adios. So, adios, Herb. Nice to have you talk for me for a little bit. Okay, so, now, I would like to call my next guest, Mr. Life. Mr. Life, how are you? Ho, ho, ho! I'm so wonderful, I'm so happy, I'm so filled with joy and peace. Whoa, ho! What a great world this is. My world is a world of life, a world of love, and a world of joy, and a world of happiness. But how come you were talking about death, Herb? Did you notice that? Nah, he brushed me as he went out, and he said, go ahead. You know, as though he was going to do something to me. But death can't do anything to me. I'm life. Because I'm always thinking life, and I'm always being life, and I'm always talking life. Mr. Death's going to do everything he can to get you to talk about death, to think about death, and to get ready for death. He's going to show you movies like the Pirates of the Caribbean, where they're shooting each other. And in the Pirates of the Caribbean, it's a beautiful movie. Oh, it's a great movie. It's a movie all about dead people. And it's a ship that is loaded with dead pirates. And during the day, the ship sails around the ocean with these dead pirates who are alive. And then at night, they're all dead. They're ghouls. They're just bones and so forth, you know, they're nothing. And they can walk along the bottom of the ocean and they can do all sorts of things, you know, because they don't have to breathe. And, you know, and they can't be killed. You can shoot them and you can cut them apart and they'll all come back together again. You can't do anything to them. You know, what an interesting idea. But, oh, that's a great type of movie. That's a movie that talks about death every minute and talks about people being killed and people being not killed and all sorts of interesting things. And the curse of the black pearl, and it had this little emblem, and if the last survivor of the thing were to spread his blood on that little emblem and drop it, then all these people who died but didn't die would come back to life again and be alive, and then they die. But you see, they couldn't die because every night when the moon would shine, these guys would come out again. That's a graveyard type of horror people, you know. Well, here I am, Mr. Life, talking about that stuff. Now, look, why do you go and watch movies like that? Why do you go and watch movies where people are hurting other people? Why do you go and watch movies where people are killing each other? Why do you think that it's so exciting to see these cars fly up in the air, come crashing down, and destroying the cars and hurting the people? Why do you think that's so exciting? Oh my goodness, because you think somebody's going to die. Well, nobody ever dies anyhow. I can tell you that, because I'm life. I know nobody ever dies. That's just Mr. Death is just a big charade. It's a big joke, because you're not dead. You cannot die. You're immortal. You can appear to die. You can take this body. But now, I'm going to say to Anita here. I'm going to say, Anita, I want you to take your old coat that you're not wearing anymore, and I want you to burn it up. You say, okay. Get it out of my closet. Now, Anita, I want you to take your dad, who you're not using anymore, and burn him up. But he's not dead. I don't care. Your coat wasn't dead either. It just wasn't being used. And you burned it up. You didn't think a thing about it. But my daddy, I'm not going to burn up my daddy. What do you think I am? Some sort of crazy? Well, you're doing it all the time. You're doing it in your thoughts. You're doing it whenever you're hurting people, whenever you're destroying people, you're shooting people. I saw a Border Patrol man today. He came on our property here, and they're looking for drug smugglers. Apparently, we're on the border here, and the smugglers try to come through from Mexico, you see. And I saw him standing in the bushes, And Rex went running up to him and shaking it, wagging his tail and letting him be petted, and the guy was reaching down petting him. And the minute he saw me, he took the badge on his chest, a beautiful gold badge, just freshly minted, you know. He had just printed it up that morning, and he had it there, hanging there, and he says, I'm from the Border Patrol. I'm from the squad, you know. And I said, my goodness sakes. And I looked at his leg, and from his breast, from his heart to his knee was a gun. It was what kind of gun they have, I don't know, like a Uzi or something. You know, and it really could do marvelous things, I'm telling you. And so he's carrying it. And then he wasn't satisfied with letting me see that big gun there. He had to pat his hip here and say, and I got another one right here. And I thought, my goodness, you sure are worried with your job, aren't you? You know? But I didn't say that to him because, I mean, he's already worried. He already had enough on his mind. And so I said, well, I know you'll have a lot of fun. I know you'll enjoy your work. And he said, well, we've got to come in plain clothes because we've got to do this, we've got to do that. And I said, I know all about you plain clothes men. You came out here one time when we called you to let you know that there was just bundles and bundles and bundles of narcotics in the property there. And you came out in your plain clothes car and your plain clothes clothes. And I said, how do I know you're not the bandits? That you're not the smugglers? And he said, well, here's our badge. And I said, anyone can have badges, you know, my gosh, you know. Your badges don't even have pictures on it, you know. Just that pretty little gold badge. And so we called the Border Patrol, and the Border Patrol, yeah, they sent them out, you know. But you see, the games, this is the game. They're all playing games and games and games, you know. Now, I don't think people should shoot guns. I don't think people should shoot each other. But when you know of the facts, and if anyone will give you the facts, how many people with all those guns, with all those ammunition on both sides, coming through the borders where they're smuggling things in, how many people get shot? How many people use their gun? When somebody gets shot, oh, it's a terrible, terrible thing, and it should be a terrible thing, but it's a terrible thing, and they make a big fuss over it. It happens so seldom, thank God. And we like it to be that way. But you see, the game of death is a game of silliness. It's a game of foolishness. It's a game where we shouldn't be playing this. But we play this game because we say, well, we get older. Well, another day older and deeper in debt, I owe my soul to the company store. These are the ways that we used to sing songs that we find so charming, you know. Old Man River, I ain't got nothing, ain't going nothing. You know, it's just a downer, downer, downer. We want to sing uppers. We want to sing songs of joy. People say, how old are you? And you say, oh, I'm just a young spring chicken. And, oh, good, good. I don't like old chickens anyhow. Spring chickens are much better to eat. But, hey, cool, you know. And people say, what are you doing? Oh, let me do that for you. You're an old person. You shouldn't be doing that. And I said, oh, when did that happen? You know? When did that happen? You want to go around calling me old? Then you got a problem. And people don't call me old. Mm-mm. People don't call me old because I don't act that way, I don't think that way, I don't live that way, and I'm not going to be that way. The day that I move on to my next dimension, I'm going to move directly with howdy-do. And it's a couple of years from now, a couple hundred years maybe, a couple thousand years, who knows? I'm having a good time. And as long as I'm having a good time here, I'm going to hang around and have more good times. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I don't own anything. I don't am not owned by anybody. People put labels on me of all kinds, and that's great, but that doesn't bother me. I'm still just always myself. Now, how soon are you going to die? You're going to die just as soon as you keep thinking that you're going to die. You're going to die just as soon as you realize that you're dying. And you're realizing it every day. Because you're looking, how many of you have ever vacuumed under your bed? And when you vacuumed under your bed, what did you find? You found Babuda. Yes, you did. You found all of this little cellular stuff that has been brushing off of your clothes, off of your pants, off of your body, and there it is. My goodness, if you would look into the septic tanks, or if you look in the sewer systems, you'd find that 99% of it is Babuda. It is cells that were changing their usefulness, you know. Now, when do we want to start saying, I am bright and sparkling new right now? Now, when do you want to start saying that?
Now.
If you have thousands and millions of stem cells born in your body every day, waiting to be directed into what you want them to direct them, you're going to direct them to be a scab again? Or are you going to direct them to be the fresh, beautiful baby skin, you know, so that you're just so lovable and so huggable and so wonderful? Well, that's what you should do. Now, can you do that? Yes, you can. Do you want to do that? Yes, you should. Now, are you going to do it? No. You say yes, but how old is your daughter? How old is your son? How old is your father? How old is your husband? How old is your wife, you know? The moment you age it, then are you that same age? Yeah, they're 40 years old, you must be 40 years old, you know. They're 100 years old, you must be 100 years old. Because, you know, why does old men who are very wealthy like to marry young women? Because they feel that if they die, then the young woman's going to know what to do with their money. She's going to really be able to do it. And the young woman doesn't mind that slight investment in an old man to get his money.
God.
And hey, why not? And he probably is a bright shining light, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Go-go-goer, you know. Like Donald Trump, you know. What does he do? He combs his hair forward over his head so people think that he's got more hair. My gosh, you know, with his money, he could afford to have an implant up here, you know, and have a beautiful real set of hair that's all there. But of course, while the healing is going on, you look sort of silly. I had a friend who did that in Saddleback Valley, and he was chairman, president of the Chamber of Commerce there, and I was president of the Saddleback Exchange Club. And so we worked together. And what was his name? He came to visit us and different things. But M&M's is their last name. And he came to the Exchange Club meetings, and he had a turban on. And a turban on his head. I mean, here he's an ordinary American man, you know. He's got this turban around there. And he made no bones about telling us. He says, that's my implant hair growing, you know. And as soon as it's ready for show, I'll take it off, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when it was ready, he took it off and he had a nice head of hair.
God.
But he was just great. And you see, people do things like that. Now, but that takes courage.
Yeah.
It takes courage to do something like that.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump doesn't have that kind of courage. He wants instantaneous hairdo by combing it forward. But it's great. It's great. Now, you see, people who get involved in so many things, they're into their businesses, they're into their money, they're into their things, they're not going to die young. They're not going to die. They're going to be living forever, playing their games on whatever level of consciousness they are. And we might as well do that too. Now, you had a visit with Mr. Death today, and you saw that he was just an ordinary nothing, you know. And if you want to invite him in your house, go right ahead. How old is Rex going to be when he dies?
Never.
Huh. However old he wants to be. However old I want him to be. Do I want him to live and be my partner all the time? No, not necessarily. I may get tired of him and I want a different dog, you know. Yeah. Rex is a great guy. But I always give my dogs to other people. and they take over, and they're not very good parents to them because they don't have that longevity that I had for them. But hey, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. You see, we have within us a genius, a power, a light, a life that cannot be extinguished by anything outside of ourselves. But it can only be extinguished by what's inside ourselves, where we say, that's it, I'm done. So, just remember, when you start acting old, when you start acting decrepit, when you start acting sick, when you start acting like the end is near, the end is near. But don't act that way. As long as you act young, vital, dynamic, alive, then you are it. And as long as you don't act that way, you are not it, and there's nothing you or anyone can do about it, except to start acting young, dynamic, vital, and alive. Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Thank you.
I love you.
Love you.
I love you.
Love you.
I love you.
Love you.